Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Good morning, Washington, D.C. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD. Time to get up and at 'em here on D.C. Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980. And in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. We like to make this the most open and interactive radio show possible. Phone lines are open. You could tweet us as well throughout the show. Get in touch with me on Instagram, all forms of social media. The phone lines are 1-800-636-1067. And on Twitter, it's at AWAD Radio, AWADDRADIO, or at 1067 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air, and I'm so happy to be back with you here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital after a few weeks off for summer vacation, but I really did pick the perfect time to get back with you, so let's get right into it here on a Saturday morning. We've got NBA Finals action this weekend, NHL Finals, Stanley Cup Finals, always deliver, MLB season cruising through the summer, and the 2025 French Open at Roland Garros. We'll talk Commanders OTAs with Michael Phillips from MP on the mic, an Odyssey host in Richmond. My take on the NBA Finals, and yes, I have a Pacers championship ticket. Placed it early last week. I have faith in UVA alum Rick Carlisle, who's already an NBA champion with the Dallas Mavericks, and he already took down LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Bosch with the Mavericks. I think he can definitely handle SGA and Chet Holmgren as the coach of the Indiana Pacers. But, man, was that just a fantastic game one. Set the tone for the rest of the series. Whether or not the ratings are going to be good for the rest of this finals when it's Indiana against OKC, I don't care about that. This was good basketball. That was championship-level basketball, and that was just a fantastic game one. And then we'll talk about the Washington Wizards and how they can have a successful 2025 NBA draft. Pick 6 and pick 18. How do the Wizards have a successful 2025 NBA draft? Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067, but I actually wanted to throw a curveball, or should I say serve an ace out wide and start with the 2025 French Open at Roland Garros, because an American, Coco Gauff, is about to begin her quest for another Grand Slam final, facing off against the one seed Aryna Sabalenka today at about 9:05, I think, will be the first pitch from Roland Garros for the 2025 French Open. And, you know, I grew up playing tennis. My dad was a tennis coach, and I had an interview last week with an awesome tennis reporter, Christopher Clary, who wrote an awesome new book about Rafa Nadal. He also wrote a book about Roger Federer that I really liked, and I asked him, what do you think is missing for tennis in America to become more popular like it was when I was growing up? And when I was in, you know, first, second, third grade, I have all these vivid memories of watching Pete Sampras, Andre Agassi, Andy Roddick, James Blake. And it felt like tennis meant something to Americans. And to me, it's because we had a champion. We had Pete Sampras. Even Agassi won 8. And Andy Roddick won a couple, right? Andy Roddick won the last one. Isn't that crazy? Andy Roddick won the last one, his one U.S. Open win in 2003. And so you look at the date today, you see June 7th, 2025, and the French Open final on the women's side will feature an American woman, Coco Gauff, and the American women haven't skipped a beat. Like, they need to be given credit, Venus and Serena, and since then, they have kind of handed off the baton. You've got so many great women, Emma Navarro, Madison Keys, Coco Gauff, there's so many others as well that are young Americans that are playing well, Danielle Collins, but on the men's side, it's a bunch of disappointment and failure, to be honest with you. And I personally think that's what's holding this nation back from being more into tennis. The fact that it's been 22 years since we've won a Grand Slam. And so you have my producer, Ben, who's probably never seen an American win a Grand Slam because it's been his entire lifetime. And so I think that's what's missing personally.
I didn't even know that.
It was a strong tournament for the Americans, with Francis Tiafoe, the DMV native, who they love to tell the story, but why wouldn't you? Because it is so fantastic that his father was working as a maintenance manager at a local club, and Francis and his family were living in the club because they needed a place to stay for shelter, and he would stay up all night and get up early and play, and it is such a fantastic story that he has made it this far. But to think of Francis Tiafoe ever winning a Grand Slam, well, I think you're crazy to believe that's actually going to happen. And then you have Tommy Paul, who advanced to the quarterfinals. And this is how far they actually are from winning it, in my mind. We have two Americans in the quarterfinals. The first time that's happened in, I believe it was 25 years. Tiafoe got blown out in 4 sets. Paul got blown out in 3 sets. They didn't even sniff the semifinals. Now, we had one American, Taylor Fritz, make the semifinals of a Grand Slam last year. But then he got blown out, and I don't know if America's ever going to break through, and I think that's the issue right now. And tennis is such an interesting sport because it's such a inner game of tennis. It's such a mind game. It's such a one-on-one duel that can be grueling, and the American men have not had the right mindset for it for the last 15 years. Once again, the American women need to give a shout-out, and that's why I wanted to start the show with it today, because congratulations to Coco Gauff on advancing to the French Open Finals, and she's going to face off against Sabalenka, who's, Ben, she's like a goddess out there on the court. She's like 6'1", almost like 190, it feels like. And she just, and Coco's, I think, like 5'9". So that's going to be the difficult part about this matchup this morning for Coco Gauff, that's about to have their first pitch in a couple of minutes here, that Sabalenka is so big, so strong, and she's got 3 singles titles already this year. She's been fantastic in the last 2 or 3 years, has really turned it around strong, especially in Grand Slam. She deserves to be the number one tennis player in the world right now. But Coco Gauff has been fantastic throughout this entire tournament, and she advanced to the finals. And so she has already won a Grand Slam, and I think she's going to win another one, if not later this year, even today. But on the men's side, it's frustrating. It's a struggle. And that's where I wanted to start off the show today. Do you agree with me? What's missing for tennis to be more popular in this country? 1-800-636-1067. I know that we have a massive rise of pickleball in America. The Junkies had a pickleball classic last summer. I've been playing pickleball. It feels like you go out to the courts, you see 45 people, and they're all between the ages of 30 up to like even 65 or 70. So it's a massively popular sport. The pickleball is pretty much small tennis, so it's not like you're playing pickleball and then you wouldn't understand the rules of tennis. What's missing for tennis to be more popular in this country? In my mind, it's a champion. And as much as I have enjoyed in the last 20 years watching my favorite tennis player, Roger Federer, win Wimbledon after Wimbledon after Wimbledon and have 20 total Grand Slams, and the greatest left-hander of all time, the king of clay, Rafa Nadal, win 14 French Opens and 22 Grand Slams, and yet we watched those two, and the guy that nobody really liked for most of the last 15 years, Novak Djokovic, now he's like LeBron. As much as you want to hate him, you have to respect him with 24 total Grand Slams. Now, he just lost in the semifinals to Yannick Sinner, and so for the first time since 2013, the French Open Finals at Roland Garros will feature the 1 versus the 2 seed on the women's side and the 1 versus the 2 on the men's side. And so you could not have asked for a better matchup between Carlos Alcaraz and Yannick Sinner, except for if it had included an American man. And that's my take that I wanted to start the show with. I think that's what's missing, is that we've seen how great the women have been in all four Grand Slams, but on the men's side, the last 25 years, it has been a joke, and it has kind of ruined the fan base in my mind here, because as great as it is to watch all those other great stars and Yannick Sinner and Carlos Alcaraz, if we had a young American, especially a local kid, I think everybody could support them. Now, there are, you know, Ben Shelton's playing really well, and he made a bit of a run. I believe it was to the round of the fourth round. Sebastian Corder. There are some good young American men, but they're not even going to come close to, I think, sniffing a finals or a championship, because as good as there are young Americans, there are better young Spaniards, young Brazilians, young French players. It's just not, it's not as big of a sport in this country, and it's also expensive, and that's part of it as well. But maybe people don't care, and they're not even going to watch the championship game today and then the men's tomorrow. I will, and I'll be rooting for Coco Gauff to pull off the upset. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. What's missing that would make tennis more popular in this country? Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 1067 The Fan, simulcast, Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and we're always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Download it today for free anywhere you get your apps at. It's AUDACY. That's AUDACY. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, PSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome back. What up, what up? It's AWOD here with you live and local on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital. DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. We got Ben running the ones and twos today as I wanted to get into the NBA Finals and Sunday's Game 2 between the Thunder and the Indiana Pacers. And I'll start by saying this. This was not the NBA Finals that I wanted. I personally was kind of hoping for Lakers-Celtics. I just kind of wanted one more LeBron against, you know, Jason Tatum and the Celtics. And obviously, that didn't even come close to playing out. And when we got close to the finals, I actually wanted Knicks against the Minnesota Timberwolves. But here we are, Pacers-Thunder, a couple of interesting franchises, and I think it's very interesting because these, as much as the Thunder have an MVP and SGA, they really have built out that team the right way with draft picks. And the Pacers, on the other hand, they didn't really build out their team with draft picks, but smart trades. Now, I wanted to start the NBA Finals topic here by talking about Justin Tinsley's article for ESPN, the butterfly effect of this NBA Finals. Ben, do you know about the butterfly effect for this NBA Finals, the Paul George effect? 7 years ago, Paul George played for the Indiana Pacers. And then the Indiana Pacers traded Paul George to the Oklahoma City Thunder, who then traded him to the Clippers. Well, in return, the Thunder got their starting point guard SGA. The Pacers got Domantas Sabonis, who they shipped out to the Kings, to get their starting point guard, Tyrese Halliburton. So Paul George has played a part in this year's NBA Finals, playing for both franchises, and the moves they made by trading him at the right time set up the current crop of stars that they have right now. For Indiana, we knew that they were going to trade Paul George. He was unhappy, but it kind of shocked people when they sent him to OKC, because PG is from LA. We thought he wanted to go play for the Clippers or for the Lakers. But when he got to OKC, it was Paul George, Russell Westbrook, and Melo, and it didn't work out. But they had enough success that the general manager of the Thunder was able to convince Paul George to sign an extension. And that extension was huge because it allowed the Thunder to trade him, use him as a trade piece to the Clippers. In return, they got back a haul of 5 draft picks and a young rookie that scored 10 points a game by the name of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So PG goes from the Thunder to the Clippers. They get SGA. They get a bunch of draft picks that they hit on, pick after pick after pick, including Jalen Williams, who's been a massive piece in this year's run to the NBA Finals. So that was so smart. And then for the Pacers, like, they traded Paul George for Domantas Sabonis and Victor Oladipo. And Oladipo became an all-star, and Sabonis became an all-star. And then next thing you know, Oladipo's out of the league, and Sabonis, they were able to trade him to the Kings. Now, the Kings look stupid in the whole thing because the Kings got rid of De'Aaron Fox, who is a very good point guard, and Tyrese Halliburton. But so the Paul George effect has set up this year's NBA Finals. And like I said, I think the Pacers built their team off of smart trades, and they don't really have a true, true superstar when you consider their best player, Tyrese Halliburton, was voted the NBA's most overrated player last season. But they Halliburton was via trade, right? Pascal Siakam via trade. Or you've got Miles Turner has been the one piece part of that team. Then they've brought in pieces like Obi Toppin, who's really been a help for them. Nembhard has been fantastic. So I just love the way the Pacers have built their team. And with the Thunder, it's the way the Wizards are trying to do it with draft pick after draft pick after draft pick. You know, Chet Holmgren, draft pick. And now you're seeing how he's developed. And so it's an NBA Finals that I've grown to really have some interest in. I thought Game 1 was everything you could ask for in an NBA Finals game. The Pacers come from behind once again, making it the fourth massive comeback from down by 7 or more points in the final minute in this year's NBA postseason already. It was Nembhard with a clutch three, Siakam with a layup, and then Halliburton with the game winner, as they really did step it up defensively in game one. And so you look ahead to game two, and I do feel very confidently that the Thunder will win this game, that they won't go down 0-2. But at the same time, the Thunder did so many things I thought right in game one that it's going to be tough for them to play even better in game two. Like, I really thought the Thunder, with SGA's 38-point performance, played almost their A game. I mean, this is what the Thunder do. They let SGA run their offense. They get good shots from Jalen Williams, Lou Dort. Lou Dort was a 30% three-point shooter. He hit 5 of 9. That's more than 50% for 15 points, right? Jalen Williams had 17. They got 11 off the bench from Caruso. Hartenstein had 9 and 9. Like, I think some of the guys on the third played actually above their average, and yet they lost the game. And on the Pacers side of things, I think they're going to get a better performance from Pascal Siakam. I think they're going to get a better first half from Miles Turner, who was much better in the second half. And we'll see if they can get more scoring from their bench unit, guys like Ben Shepherd and Benedict Mathurin, who was not great offensively, but he had that massive block on SGA in the fourth quarter. And so how did game one turn, right? As we'll look ahead to game two, but how did game one turn? To me, it was that third quarter. Indiana held the 45 first half points, and yet they get to 111 to win this game. And I don't think that was that their offense got that much better. It was that the Thunder defense slacked off a little bit. And I think in the fourth quarter, especially, they got handsy and they sent the Pacers to the free throw line. Too many free trips to put points on the board in the fourth quarter. But to me, that game changed at halftime. And I thought in the third quarter, that was the most entertaining game we've had in a while. Like, that third quarter was blow for blow. It was awesome. I mean, SGA was driving to the basket, hitting step backs, mid-range, fadeaways, even hit a key three-pointer, as you had like the combination of Nesmith, Nembhard, Siakam, Halliburton, even Obi Toppin hitting threes for the Pacers. That third quarter, I was like, man, the Pacers are making some noise. They're going to make this a game. But OKC answered everything. And so when we entered the fourth quarter, I was thinking, oh, OKC might actually blow this thing away, blow the doors open on this thing, and they got it up to 13, but the Pacers never give up. And I do not think that we've been giving enough credit to Coach Rick Carlisle. Everyone's giving credit to Tyrese Halliburton and to Pascal Siakam and to Aaron Nesmith, right, because he hit 5 threes in their comeback against the Knicks. When your team has a comeback win over the Bucks in round one, a comeback win over the Cavs, the best team in the East in round two, a comeback win over the Knicks in round three, and then does it again in game one of the finals, you need to look at the man in charge of the team, Rick Carlisle, because whatever he's doing, he has convinced his troops to never give up, to never say die. They play a full 48 minutes. The starters know that if it's not working, the bench unit will have an opportunity to shoot them back in it. And like Obi Toppin, I watched Obi Toppin personally during 4 years where he was with the Dayton Flyers in the A-10. He never had a three-point shot. Now he has developed that in the NBA, but he hit 5 of 8 in game one. So it's just this Pacers team, I don't know what it is, but Rick Carlisle has them believing, you know, and so they just come in there and they just release. I mean, it was like Nesmith against the Knicks. He was just running around screens, releasing it like, who cares? Screw it. If we lose, we lose. But he started making it, and he brought the team back into it. And it was the same thing in game one with Obi Toppin. So for the Thunder to win game two and for the Thunder to now turn around and win this series after already losing home court advantage in game one, they're going to have to figure out how to close this Indiana Pacers team. How to close a team that Giannis and the Bucks couldn't close out. And I know Giannis wasn't at his best and Damian Lillard was injured, but Halliburton was the one that drove to the basket and finished on Giannis in that series. And then against the Cavs. And then against the New York Knicks. This is a Pacers team that has just never given up. They come from behind so often, over and over and over again. And it's not like they've come out of nowhere. Halliburton singly single-handedly led the Indiana Pacers to the first ever NBA in-season cup, and they lost in the finals to the Lakers. And everyone was like, well, it's the in-season cup. Who cares? Indiana cared. And you could tell in 2023 by the noise they made that they were actually a legit team. And since they've added the addition of Pascal Siakam, they have been even better. You could argue if they were fully healthy, maybe they upset the Celtics last year in the Eastern Conference Finals. But Haliburton wasn't at full strength. And so this is a Pacers team that in the last 3 years has really been building something special with Coach Carlisle. And so they steal a game one victory on the road over the Thunder. Now, for the Thunder, though, they've been here before. They were devastated when they lost to the Nuggets. They were devastated last season when they were upset in the Western Conference. And so this is a team that's been playing with a chip on their shoulder all season long. I do expect them to turn things around and get a victory in Game 2. And hopefully this series goes 7. You're listening to AWOD here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome back. What up, it's AWOD here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. That's where you can check me out Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. if you're enjoying the show. Best of AWOD Radio, available for you on your ride home every day. Spotify, iTunes, or the free Odyssey app. Download it today for free. Anywhere you get your apps at, A-U-D-A-C-Y, that's A-U-D-A-C-Y. So Pacers, Haliburton, game winner, 111-110. They win. Game 2 Sunday night. Game 1 of the Pacers Thunder NBA Finals averaged a 4.7 rating and 8.91 million viewers on ABC, making it the lowest rated and least watched finals opener since tracking began in 1988, excluding the COVID impacted series in 2020 and 2021. Who's to blame for the bad ratings? It's Adam Silver, because it was the worst regular season in the past 25 years. That's why nobody wants to watch this series. It's not because the Thunder are a small market and the Pacers are a small market. It's because the regular season was so damn awful, Adam Silver. And so even though the Pacers had an amazing comeback in game one, amazing comeback, and people started watching at about 10:45 as they heard on Twitter, on X, on Facebook, wherever you got your news from, that the lead was from 15 down to 5, and that the ratings got a little better after 10:45 p.m., but the trend for the entire thing was still awful. Halliburton's heroics, not enough to save NBA Finals Game 1 ratings. A weak start, and who's to blame? Adam Silver. And I'm really hoping that everyone's watched the replay by now of the stunning come-from-behind victory for the Pacers led by Halliburton, and that there will be all eyes on Game 2 Sunday night. There's no football. There's no NFL on, right? They're going to own that space Sunday, 8 p.m. on ABC. I hope that it will get better ratings, but I don't really care because I do think this is a matchup for true basketball fans. So many years we've watched the NBA Finals where it was for LeBron fans or Curry stans, right? That's what it was. People watching because their favorite player was in there. It's not that many people, I think, that their favorite player is Canadian SGA. Or how many people outside of those in Indiana and Pat McAfee whose favorite player is Tyrese Halliburton? I think a lot of people would have been more interested in watching Anthony Edwards. I know you would have gotten better ratings if it was the New York Knicks. But yet, basketball fans, I think, are going to really enjoy this series because, as I've said, these teams, I think, have built the right way. Oklahoma City with their draft picks, the Pacers with a few nice trades, nice moves, and also they had their own draft picks that they have developed as well. It is a very interesting coaching matchup. I am very much in favor of Rick Carlisle, but you can't sleep the job the Thunder coach has done, winning 68 regular season games, and I believe they were like 27-1 against the Eastern Conference this regular season. We'll make it 27-2 after the loss in Game 1, but here's the case to believe in the Thunder to still win this series, even though they have lost home court advantage now, right? In the entirety of the 82-game regular season, the Oklahoma City Thunder never lost four games in a seven-game stretch. They never lost four in a seven-game stretch. They never went 3-4. They went either 4-3, 5-2, 6-1, or 7-0 in every single seven-game stretch throughout the 82-game regular season. That's so impressive. They were pushed to the brink in the conference finals, right? The conference semifinals against the Nuggets, they pushed through, right? This is a Thunder team that has been resilient. They've got the MVP. Now, I think they got to change their game plan. Personally, I don't think your starting point guard, I don't care if he's the league MVP, unless his name is Kobe Bean Bryant, should be shooting 30 attempts. To me, that's ludicrous. Like, are you kidding me? 30 attempts? For SGA, 19 for Jalen Williams, and so basically the entirety of the other team, the rest of your team doesn't do anything? Doesn't even get off shot attempts? I mean, the most shots that any Indiana Pacer had was Pascal Siakam, 7 of 15, and it felt like that was just because they were leaving him open because he couldn't hit his shots. Halliburton, 6 of 13. Halliburton's going to be, I think he's going to have a much better offensive performance in Game 2, and especially when they return home to Indiana, so for OKC, I'm not sure if that's the right approach to this series. I think SGA's got to be a more of a true point guard, more of a true leader, and a champion here. All right, he hit the clutch shots until the shot that he didn't hit that gave the Pacers the opportunity to go win it. So 30 attempts to me is absolutely way too many. But look, he is the scoring leader in the NBA. 32 points per game. He had 38 in Game 1, so he certainly could keep doing that. I just personally don't think that's the right number of attempts for your starting point guard. And in the conference finals, when they got past the Timberwolves, he was averaging 23 attempts. The series before that, averaging 19 attempts. Before that, 22 attempts. The regular season, he averaged 24 attempts. I do think 30 is too much for SGA. And now, at least he's not chucking up threes. It's a lot of mid-range jumpers. But it's not like he had the greatest percentage. Like, you want your guy to shoot 50%? when it's mostly free, you know, shots around the free throw line. So I think SGA less jumpers and more getting assists. I mean, dude, come on now. Three assists for the MVP of the league when you average almost seven? You got to do better than that. This is the NBA Finals, dude. Welcome to the big leagues. It's time to step up, SGA. But outside of that, it's absolutely Chet Holmgren. And here's the good news for the Thunder. Chet Holmgren was awful in game one against the Denver Nuggets. Nikola Jokic dogged him game one. He couldn't do anything. He was better offensively in that, 12 points, but 6 rebounds. He struggled with 5 personal fouls. But the rest of the series, he turned it on. Double-digit in rebounds in 5 of the last 6 games after game one. Double-digit points, 5 of the last 6 games after game one. Blocked shots in every game after game one. He stepped up. He took his game to the next level. Chet Holmgren was a bit of a wuss in game one. It wasn't working. He was 7'1", 208 pounds, and Miles Turner looked like he was 440 pounds the way he was dominating Holmgren in game one. I expect Chet to get better. I expect Chet to have a much better performance in game two, and if the Thunder can turn around in this series, it's going to be SGA getting less shot attempts and more assists, more kickouts, because they've got open shooters who can hit. Lou Dort showed he can hit. Cason Wallace can hit. Jalen Williams can hit. Off the bench, they got shooters. And they need SGA to drive and dish to his teammates, get them some open shots. So they need SGA more assists, Chet Holmgren to be stronger down low and better on the offensive end. And they've got to hit more three-point shots here, because that's the great equalizer in the NBA right now. It's the three-point shot, and that's what the Pacers used to win that game. 46% from three. Nearly better from three than they were from the field, shooting 47% from the field. 18 made three-point shots, and for the Oklahoma City Thunder, they were 36%. 11 made threes, and nobody off their bench could hit. Caruso in that fourth quarter had 2 wide-open corner threes that I feel like he's absolutely going to nail if he gets that opportunity in game two and throughout the rest of this series. But that's the struggle for the Thunder, I think, is do they have enough three-point shooters that can come in clutch? Because we know the Pacers do. I mean, the Pacers got shooters for days, and that's what's really been so much fun to watch about that team. It could be Nembhard, it could be Nesmith, it could be Halliburton, Siakam, or guys off the bench as well. But I've fallen in love with watching Tyrese Halliburton in the clutch and Andrew Nembhard's ball handling skills. Wow. I mean, this kid is unbelievable already, and I think he could become a one. He could become a 1A on a team in the future. He's just unbelievable with his ball handling. Also, just like the stones to take SGA off the dribble late in that game. Gonzaga boys, they always step up. They're never duds in the NBA. They always seem to have decent stats. You know, Rui Kispert, a couple we had. Chet Holmgren on the other side. Andrew Nembhard. There are very good players in the league from Gonzaga, and Nemhard's the latest. I think this 25-year-old's about to take off. This regular season, he was 10 points per game. All right? 10 points per game in the regular season. He's been about, I think, 14 points per game in the postseason, and 20 this year when facing off against the Thunder, and he was really good in that game one victory for the Indiana Pacers. So Pacers are my pick to win the series. I had that before the series began. I said Pacers in 6, but I'll tell you why the Thunder will win game 2 when we return here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. Pacers steal game one with a massive second half comeback. Great shooting from their guards. Halliburton with the game-winning jump shot. And it was just like, as soon as SGA missed, it felt like every basketball fan watching on the planet knew Halliburton was going to score. Because he did that against the Bucks. He did that against the Cavs. I'm still not over the play against the Knicks. Like, I'm going to tell my grandkids that I watched Tyrese Halliburton give up a wide-open lane to the basket for a game-tying layup, turn around, dribble back outside the three-point line, and hit a step-back three that hits off the top of the rim, falls back in, and then after all of that, they say his toe was on the line, you're going to have to win it in overtime. I'm, like, still not over that play, how iconic that was. And so after all of that, if you didn't think Halliburton was going to go win the game, you have failed yourself. Halliburton gets one opportunity. He takes a couple dribbles to the right, right inside the three-point line, pulls up and hits it. So impressive because he has a very awkward shooting stroke in which he normally shoots from about the hip. And he loves to do the step-back three. But this was like he was stepping into the shot. He pulled up and released it like a normal jump shot about above his his head. And he nailed it. And it was just a massive clutch shot with about 0.1, 2, or 3 left on the clock. So Pacers win game one. So how do the Thunder turn around and win game two? Well, I think calm down. You calm down and you close the game. Because the Thunder were dominant for long stretches of that game. They forced the turnovers. 19 in the first half. They gave themselves extra possessions after extra possession. And for so many parts of this game, it was every time the Thunder went on a run, SGA answered them, right? Until he didn't late in that fourth quarter. They got cold in crunch time. And the MVP missed a shot that would have given them a three-point lead there late. They led for most of the night, but this just wasn't their shooting night. And like I said, I do expect Chet Holmgren to be much, much better in game two. What's interesting is Miles Turner is, he's an interesting center because he'll bring the intensity, he'll bring his size, he'll bring his rebounding every night, and you probably can't stop him from getting at least like 10 and 8, right? Or 12 and 10. But Chet Holmgren can get 25. Chet Holmgren can really score the basketball from the outside, driving past you, hitting shots, blocking shots as well. So Holmgren's ceiling is a lot higher than Turner. He's got to reach that to help the Thunder win game two. I think another part of them winning game two, which I'm going to absolutely bet on them to win it. You're not going to win much money on the money line with that one, and I would stay away from the spread because you never know about the Pacers making a late run in this one. But the Thunder just, they shot awful from the field, and it wasn't really the three-point shots in my mind. Weird to see because it was on home court, but if you watch this game, you saw Jalen Williams, SGA, Alex Caruso, Chet Holmgren driving, just slam things off the glass. How many? They missed like so many layups, layup after layup. And so for the game, they shot 39% from the field. 39% from the field. That's not going to win you an NBA Finals game. And I thought a lot of that was inside the paint. A lot of that was inside the paint. And I don't know if that was the presence of like Siakam and Obi Toppin or Thomas Bryant and Miles Turner kind of, you know, making them hesitate on their layups. But just, I mean, Jalen Williams in particular had three drives in which he just clanked it off the backboard, and it didn't even, in my mind, come close to falling. You've got to make your layups because that's the Thunder's advantage here. They've got multiple guys that can take you off the dribble and get to the basket, and I don't think Miles Turner is good enough as a rim protector to protect the Pacers throughout this series. But if the Thunder are clanking it like that and shooting 39%, then the Pacers will absolutely have a chance to come back in multiple games. So game two, I expect the Thunder to score probably 120 in this one. They're going to be much better offensively. Like I said, they don't lose back-to-back games, and they don't lose four games in a seven-game stretch, and they're at home. This is a Pacers team that's very good, but not good enough to go steal two games over the Thunder on the road. They're a 50-win team that was probably looking like they were going to miss the postseason before Christmas. That's when they really turned it on and got healthy this season. So I expect Oklahoma City to be dominant in game two and to send things back to Indiana at one game apiece, and we'll see where we go from there. But look, didn't get great ratings, and the NBA is not helping themselves with this. I used to love turning on the NBA Finals and you'd see the NBA Finals logo on the court. And they don't care about that anymore. I watched the game, and you see three different advertisements on the court for three different companies. That's what they're doing, is they're trying to make money instead of promoting their product. And that's my biggest concern with Adam Silver, is it feels like everything's about money. How can we get more and more money, money, money? The latest talk is we're going to expand the league. Expand the league? Expand the league? You should decrease the league because nobody's watching right now. Decrease the number of teams that get into the playoffs. Oh, yeah, let's expand to 40 teams, and then we'll make 30 teams get into the postseason. That's where you're at right now. 30 teams in your league, 20 teams get into the postseason. All right, because your dumb play-in tournament, and half the teams in the play-in tournament don't even want to be in it because they're tanking. And yet Adam Silver's talking about expanding? Get the heck out of here with that. Go back to the old-school approach of promoting your product better with better marketing.
They can decorate the court for the in-season tournament, but not the NBA Finals.
Oh, I know.
That's crazy to me.
And the in-season tournament courts are so ugly and so distracting. I'm not asking for a distracting court. I'm asking for a damn finals logo so that I can turn it on and tell that it matters, right? I mean, it's just, you have so many iconic overhead shots of Kobe Bryant, finals logo next to him, right? Michael Jordan, finals logo. LeBron, Shaq, finals logo. What do you do? Like, that just seems like so obvious. It's the NBA finals. Put that on the court. Put that on the hardwood so that in 30 years when people watch this as a hardwood classic, they're not looking at an advertisement for a company that doesn't exist anymore. It's just, it's so frustrating. So the NBA has hurt themselves, and Adam Silver's to blame. And so are we really surprised that they're getting bad ratings for a Thunder Pacers NBA Finals after the worst regular season in the past 20 years, the worst All-Star game I've ever seen? And so, yeah, they're going to change the format for that. Yeah, we're going to follow what hockey did. That's how bad the NBA's gotten right now, that Adam Silver is taking ideas from hockey. If you told me that when I was 5 years old, I would have spit in your face and called you crazy. The NBA's taking ideas from the NHL. That's how bad Adam Silver's gotten at his job. It's awful. It really is so bad. But yet, I'm enjoying the finals, and I like the story for both of these teams. I'm rooting for UVA alum Rick Carlisle, but I do have a soft spot for the Thunder because I think it is really cool that I'm a VCU alum, and VCU legend Eric Maynor was on the Oklahoma City Thunder team 13 years ago when they made it to the finals with Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Eric Maynor was getting playing time in that series there, and he's the only piece that's held over as he is on the coaching staff and his assistant coach for this year's Oklahoma City Thunder team. So I'm enjoying the NBA Finals. As awful as the regular season has been, I thought the postseason has been much better. You could tell the players care defensively. They are stepping up. The scoreboard being like 111-110 is, in my mind, just a million times better than a 135-140 game. Nobody wants to watch 53-point shots a night, and we haven't gotten that in this postseason. So although the ratings haven't been great, I have enjoyed it. I'm going still with Pacers in six, but give me the Thunder to win game two, and give me a Chet Holmgren prop bet. I know he will have a better game. You're listening to AWOD here on the new sport, here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Phone lines are open if you want to chime in. 1-800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.